Boy, she's fired up this morning. She's kind of like us. She's been this song service. I'm talking about, you know, look at this. I loved it. You know, I saw Kellen up there a minute ago clapping his hand, having a good time. I thought, I wish that was contagious and everybody would catch it. We're always excited about this point. I tell you, we've got special children in our church. And here comes another one. She looks like she's ready to have a good time. Children are a gift from God. And Psalm 127:3 proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. As believers, we are called to recognize that children being first and foremost to God. God, in His goodness, gives children to gifts as parents. They not only have an awesome responsibility for caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by His grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, you find that after the days were set aside, that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus down to the temple to be recognized and dedicated to God. And we follow that example today, that we believe that this gives a child a greater advantage in life by having a church family and a church-oriented home that they might know right from wrong. If we want to change our country, let's start with our children, and when they get of age, maybe we'll see a difference. Doug and Samantha, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Holy Scripture. Deuteronomy 6:4-7 tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon their children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord." God's instructions are plain. Doug and Samantha, love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and teach Caroline to do the same. As you love God and one another, you will model before your daughter a wonderful love that God wants for your family. Doug and Samantha, by coming forward before God and His people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your daughter Caroline to the Lord? If so, respond by saying, "We do." Amen. Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and this people, so that Caroline may walk in the abundant life of Christ, that and help in partnership with the church to provide your daughter a Christian home of love and peace, to raise her in the truth of our Lord's instructions and discipline, and encourage her to one day trust Jesus Christ as her Savior. Do you say, "We do"? Amen. Finally, I ask the church to make a vow as well. There's no proverb that said it takes a village to raise a child. Parents have first responsibility. Everybody say amen. Amen. And I didn't say grandchildren, grandparents. I said parents have the first. Y'all forgive me, but that's the order God set it in. And it says it takes a village to raise a church. So we have an opportunity also as a church that we may have a hand in the upbringing of this child. A great responsibility. I love it, don't y'all? It goes farther. It says parents have first responsibility, but parents need the help and support of the community. So I direct my questions now to the church. By being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do." Would you please stand, please? Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you so that Caroline may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ to help Doug and Samantha be faithful to God and to help teach and train their daughter, Caroline, in the ways of the Lord so that she might one day trust Him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for an opportunity you've given us to come, and that we share this moment with these parents and with these grandparents and all the folks, the friends and family. God, we thank you for letting us be a part and for offering us a part and the opportunity to bring her up in the ways of righteousness and the ways of God. Father, I pray for this church that you help us to follow this commitment we've made today, that we help them in all situations of life. Father, we always realize that there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be bumps in the road, but we thank you, God, for showing us the direction that we're to travel and continue on. God, I pray for these young parents. Lord, continue to bless them and help them in each situation that they face in life. And God, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory in all things in life. Thanking you and praising you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Five generations. Let's get them on their feet. Five generations here. I didn't know we had all these folks here. Five generations. Amen. Now that's a feat in itself, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Five generations, all attendance one day. That's a great thing. All right. Good to see everybody come this way. I've got about one or two verses of scripture to preach from today. Everybody say, praise the Lord. A few things on my mind, just a little bit. And as we go through these things, I want you to think about trusting the Lord. We've got something else coming up just in a few minutes. I want to get through this scripture first, and I don't want it to surprise anybody. We've got a young man that talked to me a couple of weeks ago, got saved down in singing school. Amen. Got saved. Got his life right with the Lord, and got the promise of eternal life, and got in contact with me, and he said, I want to join this church, so we're going to take care of that in a few minutes, and I'll say a little bit more about it, but I've been excited about it ever since, and we'll get to that. I'll get the doors of the church open. We'll see if we don't get a new member, a candidate for baptism, see if we can handle that. If you'll look with me in St. Luke chapter 5, a lot of times I study through the week and think about a lot of things, and this scripture and this situation has come to my mind time after time after time. It's about healing and about our confidence. Now, I hadn't told this yet. I was hoping that Delola could be here today, but she didn't get to make it. But I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. You know, last Sunday, she came in, and they had found four lumps in her throat that were cancer. Four lumps in her throat that was cancer. And I don't know if some of y'all were here, some of you wasn't. And, I got a fight started because we hate cancer, right? It's an enemy, and we fight against it. And, cancer comes in here, going to be a fight. And so I told everybody last week, I said, let me get up and get a fight started. And she came up according to the scripture, according to the word of God, and called the elders of this church, and we anointed her and prayed for her in the name of Jesus. Amen. She went on to the doctor Thursday, and they got into her throat, and guess what? Three of them lumps is gone. Praise the Lord. They gone. Now, the other one, they kept saying, we see a little something. So they took a little something out of her throat, and then the doctor got to look, and he said, I don't know if it's malignant or not. We'll have to send it off. Praise the Lord. I'm going to claim victory for God. Amen. That she followed the plan of God about calling the elders of the church, having them anoint her in the right order. And I'm telling you, I believe it had an effect, and I believe God took three of them lumps out. Guess what? He could have took the fourth one. Maybe we didn't give him time. But I claim victory in that. And I'm so thankful that people understand the scripture and follow what God says do. She came back out and she said they couldn't find but one lump. I wasn't surprised. It went from four to three. Or three to one. Four to one, excuse me. Three were gone. And then they said, we're not sure if it's cancer. We're going to send it off and have a biopsy done. Well, I don't care what it is. It just don't matter to me. I'm going to claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ. I am. Let's look at just a little bit of healing here in St. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. Y'all turn there with me. St. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, this is Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I want to stop right there. This situation, you know, it keeps coming in my mind and coming in my mind and coming in my mind. The situation that this man was facing was a death sentence. You know, there was nothing short of it. Leprosy always killed. There were no cure for leprosy. There was no nothing you could do about leprosy. So when he came to the point, he realized the situation when he was in. Guess what? He began finding Jesus. He began seeking a cure other than what doctors had or what medicine had, because he wanted to go down to Jesus. Now, when you think about the leprosy in that day and time, this day and time, they still don't have a cure for it, but God can heal it. Now, he went down when he deserved his situation. Now, this we're talking physical leprosy. You know, that's when your nose rots off. That's when you flesh falls away. You know, a terrible disease. That's when you're separated from everybody else and nobody will have anything to do with you. And so all of a sudden, and he finds and understands his situation, he said, I'm going to go to Jesus. Well, you know, I know a lot of people that's dying every day, you know, that, and I'm not talking physical death, I'm talking a spiritual death. I talk to people that are spiritually dead. They don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and without that, they have no hope of eternal life, so they're spiritually dead. And I have been praying that they might understand the situation that they're in and think about where they're at, that they might seek Jesus. Now, when we start talking about praying for healing, when we start talking about the power of God, I think we need to believe that He can. Now, when this leper came down, although he had the worst disease known in that time, but notice down at the end of the verse, he said, if thou wilt, he didn't have any hesitation in saying, I know you can do it. That's what he said. He didn't doubt Jesus in any way whatsoever. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so with all confidence in his heart and mind, he goes down to Jesus. When we start as Christians coming to God and coming down to Jesus with all confidence, you're going to see things change in life. You know, I talk to a lot of people that say, I'd love to see my family in church, but they don't have confidence that God can do it. I want us to build a confidence level at New Salem Baptist Church that if we pray, we expect it. Amen. I tell you, it'll be a world changer. It'll be a life changer for a lot of people that when we pray and believe it, and I mean be expecting results. You know, when I went down to Dalton Thursday, when they were going to work on DeLola's throat, I went down there with confidence. I thought they may be wasting their time. That we have confidence that we had prayed and asked God's help in this situation. And I know a lot of people said, well, what about so-and-so? They died. They went through the ultimate healing, as far as I'm concerned. They's healed. Guess what? I had a guy arguing with me, well, we prayed for him, and he still died of cancer. I said, guess what? He won't have it in heaven. So God healed him. Ultimate healing. Sometimes we have to go through the dirt to get it. But that's okay if that's God's plan, right? This man with leprosy, when I thought about the confidence he had, I began to measure my own confidence. I thought, am I as confident as this man understanding? What did he say? He didn't say, I hope you can, or maybe you can. He said, I know you can. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And it wasn't about whether God had power or not, or Jesus had power or not. It's about if he would. In verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. That he went in faith and he asked of Jesus, and Jesus said, I will. You know, I don't see Jesus denying many people many things if they ask it with a good heart and a right mind and a right spirit, that Jesus is willing to help in a lot of situations that we face each and every day. And these physical things that Jesus is healing in that time, if you read on in this chapter, you're going to find that a great fame went abroad, told all about him healing people physically. But he also healed spiritually. And that's what's more important to me. I mean, this cancer and these things we have, and these heart problems we have in this day and time, hey, that ain't nothing. All that'll do is just kill the flesh. I worry about the spirit and the soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere, a life forever and ever and ever. And so, you know, we have these problems in the flesh, but as long as this spirit is well, I'm good with it. It's hard to threaten a Christian with death because we got better on the other side. You know, if that's the threat they've got, oh, well, you know, I'm not here, I'll be in heaven. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that when we gain this faith, when we gain this attitude, that when we pray, we believe it, God will change situations in your life. I don't know what situation you're facing this morning, but I know God's got you here listening to His Word, that whatever the situation is, if you'll pray and you'll believe, God can change it. Somebody needs to hear it. I'll guarantee you, somebody needs to hear that, that they're going to pray and they're going to believe and they're going to say, Jesus, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean or change this situation in life. Whatever it may be. All right, I'm going to stop right there. That's short and sweet. That's short and sweet this morning. Got a little bit more to do. Let's have our musicians come up. And Chris, want a verse for song. While they're coming up to the instruments and coming up with the song, I'm going to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism, in certain circumstances by statement. God can take care of the need you had. Now, if you want to join the church by baptism, you come on up. I'm waiting on him. Here he comes. Here he comes. He's excited. How about stand right in the middle, right in front of the pulpit? I'll be right down there with you just in a minute. Now, we're going to sing a song in a minute, and anybody else that needs to come, you can be thinking about it, praying about it. If God directs you to be part of this church, you need to move on that. I was so thankful when I heard from him that he said, I want to be baptized in the body of Christ. I want to join the church. See, when people are saved, that ought to be a desire in their heart. You know, God ought to put that there with salvation, that, hey, I'm going to follow the Lord in the commitment for baptism. And this is a very glad day. I know his parents sitting back there probably want to come up there, but no, this is a growing time. He's big enough to come by himself. Look at him. Amen. I know they're just dying to get up here. We'll let them come in a minute. Hey, he's old enough to make the decision. He's old enough to stand here on his own. Andrew Powell. Now, I want to give you the situation. We're not pulling any punches or hiding anything. They live in Troy, Alabama. And I don't figure they're going to make it up here every Sunday. Do y'all? But they're going to make it when they can. And he said, although he's in Troy and they're going to church down there, he wants to be a member of this church. This church. So until God changes the situation and moves them closer, there's going to be a little long distance relationship, but so be it. I know people that live in community and they don't come every Sunday either. So I'm not going to hold that against him. Well, everybody say amen. Amen. You know, and I'm not going to hold that against him. Yeah, they're going to be down in Troy for right now. But God can change that too. But his desire was to join this church. Now I'm going to get him to make a statement. Down in music school, what happened down there? Amen. Is that good enough? What a great homecoming. You know, music moved him to the point to receive Jesus Christ. That's good. But he knew the words. And I'm glad he's big enough to come here and tell it, give his statement and his testimony. And your desire is to be baptized into the body of Christ, the church, right? New Salem Baptist Church. So that's his desire, be baptized into the body of Christ. Boy, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Do I hear a move in a second to accept him as a candidate for baptism? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Amen. They all want you. That's good, ain't it? Everybody wants you. Okay, so now we're going to set a time for baptism. I've got a little inside information on this, too. Inside information was that next Sunday, is that right? Next Sunday morning, we're going to have a baptism. And we've got one candidate. There might be more coming up before we get done here today. I don't know. You've got a week to pray about it. If God directed you to be part of this church, you need to get on with it. Guess who God's coming back for one of these days? Guess who Jesus is coming back for one of these days? His church. He's coming back for his church. I believe I'd want to be part of it, don't y'all? Okay, so, all right, we're going to have a verse for song. I'm going to let him stand here, and we're going to have a verse for song. And I invite whoever, if God led you to be part of the church, you need to be moving on it. If you're still wondering or have doubts, God's not a God of confusion, so continue praying about it, okay?